How many of you have read through the Bible and never noticed there was a book written directly to the church at Round Top? Well, that's pretty much a trick question because all of the Bible is written to the church at Round Top. And we all need to know what the Bible has to say to us. But first, we need to examine what the church at Round Top really is. How many of you remember the old trick with the hands? Something like this. My hands don't work quite as good as they do, as they used to, but it used to say, here is the church and here is the steeple. Open the doors and see the people. Hey, I got lots of folks joining in there. Well, you know, that might even be considered a heretical teaching. We need to remember what the church is. The church is the people and not the building. The old version kind of got it backwards. I think it really ought to say, here is Christ's church and it is his people. Look where they are in the building with a steeple. But that's even wrong. That's even wrong. It isn't correct because if we only talk about our faith in the building, then we're not following Christ's commission. In Matthew 28:18, just before he ascended into heaven, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you till the very end of the age. So Jesus told us something here that we need to pay attention to. We need to get out of this building. And he commanded us to make disciples by loving, teaching, and baptizing. When Christ comes for his church, there aren't going to be a bunch of buildings going up in the air to meet him. It'll just be people. People who have given their lives to God by putting their faith in what Jesus did on the cross for them. People who have trusted in that sacrifice of Jesus, been washed in his blood, covered with his righteousness, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to personalize Paul's letter to the church at Round Top just a little bit more. So remember now, the church at Round Top is you and me. I'm going to rename us all this morning just to make it a little more personal. This morning, I'm going to proclaim that you are all named Timothy. Me too. We're all named Timothy. So, Timothy, pay attention. We've been studying 1 Timothy in our men's Bible class over the past several months, and even during that period, things have happened in our world week by week that have made the words that Paul wrote to Timothy so much more pertinent than they were when we first began studying that book of the Bible. Well, why was Paul writing to us Timothys in the first place? Let's set the stage for what Paul wants us to be concerned about as we are each part of this church, Christ's church. He wanted to warn us against false teachers. And here's what he had to say to us Timothys. As I urged you, Timothy, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered far away from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't even know what they're talking about or what they're affirming. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law was not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me, Paul says. So Paul's purpose for leaving Timothy was to, there in Paul's absence, not to let the church, the believers there at Ephesus, stray from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we can take this letter directly into our hearts. What would Paul say to us today here in Round Top? Keep the faith and don't stray from God's gospel of truth. That's a major challenge today and becoming more and more hard to do as so many Christians or Timothys are being subject to more and more persecutions for our beliefs, and even the precepts of God are being ridiculed from every corner of the country and the universe. Have you read in the news lately or seen anything on TV that might fit what we just read from Scripture, what we just talked about? People being murdered for no reason at all, just walk up to a policeman pumping gas, shoot him in the back multiple times, empty the clip, just to make sure he's dead. Adulterers and perverts, sexual immorality. Been to a movie lately? Afraid to watch the previews of the movies that are coming up, even though the one that you're there to see may be okay. Abortion. It's okay to get pregnant. Just go down to Planned Parenthood and abort the baby. Our government helps pay for that. And they can make up some of the money back by selling aborted baby parts. And there doesn't seem to be any concern. Divorce statistics. 50% of the first marriages fail in our country today. 67% of second marriages fail, and 74% of third marriages fail. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference in the statistics between those who profess to be Christians and those who don't. Slave traders. All the young women in the world today that are being sold as sex slaves all over the world. People who lie all the time, liars and perjurers. Some people think you could replace those two words with the word politician, and they might be pretty close to right. The Bible gives us some good counsel on how to tell if someone is a Christian and a part of the church or is a Timothy. Matthew 7:15 says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." By their fruit. Doesn't matter what they say. What is their fruit? That's how you tell. Don't listen to the false prophets, those who turn God's word from light into darkness. Look around you at all the people that claim to be Christian and see what kind of fruit they are bearing. We find this false prophet theme recurring in Paul's letters to the various congregations. That was his main concern in writing to us Timothys and to Titus and all the other churches. That was his main concern and is his main concern as he writes to us here in Round Top. Going on just a little farther in 2 Timothy, as he continues his writing, he gives us some instructions on worship, how we should worship. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Paul says, for kings, and I'd like to add, presidents, senators, representatives, Supreme Court justices, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, and the testimony was given at its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed, Paul says, as a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger and disputing. In the next verse, few verses of 1 Timothy, Paul talks about the qualifications of elders and deacons, the leaders of bodies of believers here on this earth, and what fruits should be present in their lives. It's the same thing. And then Paul starts talking again about how people who make up the church should live. In 1 Timothy 3:14 it says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how God's people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Wow. In God's household, in his family. We're children of his. I'm writing these instructions so you will know how to conduct yourselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and foundation of truth. We're to be the ones that uphold truth. I just can't stress this part of Paul's message to us Timothys enough. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. So as we are studying 1 Timothy, the Supreme Court of our country makes a decision which I think basically spits in God's face and says, we don't care what God thinks or how he created us. We're going to make a decision that's in direct contradiction to God's word. We're going to declare that in the USA, the light about marriage contained in God's word be changed into darkness. John 3:16 kind of covers this. You all know the first part. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then comes this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, here's the real tough part. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Our country descended into darkness, the darkness outside of God's word, over the past few years. The Supreme Court decision in 1963, 52 years ago, led to a landmark ruling ending official Bible reading in American public schools. This came just 1 year after the Supreme Court prohibited officially sponsored prayer in schools. Prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the schools, the only place where most children could have a chance to hear the Word of God. Light was replaced with darkness. It kind of reminds me of the children of Israel making the golden calf to worship even while their leader Moses was up on the mountain conversing with God. What did we just read? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. How many of you have been watching the Pope as he visits the U.S.? He's the spiritual leader of approximately 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world, according to the Vatican. And in this country, there are over 78 million of self-identified Catholics, about a quarter of the country's population. The Pope is their spiritual leader, yet if you've listened, how many times has he mentioned God or spoken the name of Jesus in the speeches that you've seen him present? Has he quoted the Word of God or mentioned that salvation can come only through Jesus Christ? He seems to be only speaking about secular political things and not spiritual things. He has a wonderful opportunity to spread the gospel. As we go on into Timothy, Paul gives Timothy and us some instruction. The Spirit clearly says that in the last time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching comes through liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. And he says to Timothy and us, if you point out these things to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, brought up in the truths of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then here's how Paul ends that first letter to Timothy. He kind of gives him a charge. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Jesus Christ, while he was testifying before Pontius Pilate, made his good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and glory forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy is talking to us. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. If we look at Matthew 7:13, it says this: Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We need to strive to find that narrow road. One final thought. As Matthew told us in his sermon last week, and Tommy mentioned in his devotion, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the Jerusalem temple, which separated God's place of glory from the people, was torn apart from top to bottom. There was a new high priest in town, Jesus, and he became the presence of God among his people. In A.D. 70, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, as Scripture says, with not one stone left upon the other. So where is God's temple today? Can you see it from where you're sitting? Is it this building that we're in, where we're meeting? I don't think so. Can you? I can't see outside, but blinds are done. But can you see it outside somewhere? Can you see God's temple? Well, I can't. Try looking in a mirror. Hopefully you'll be able to see God's temple in the mirror, because today it is you. If you're a Christian, God's presence through the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You are God's temple in this world of darkness. The fruit that you produce should be the evidence that God is alive in you. The Bible says your life should be filled with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I was listening to Rick Warren a few days ago, and he made this statement which kind of really got me thinking. I knew that what he was saying was true, but man, I really hadn't put it in this perspective. God created each one of us with a specific purpose in mind. God created each one of us with a specific purpose in mind. He created each one of us to do a specific job for Him. So do you know why you were created? Are you fulfilling the purpose that God created in you? Have you been to God in prayer, asking Him to make that purpose evident in your life? And then do you seek to follow what He reveals to you? What have you done with Jesus? Is He alive in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit sanctifying your life? Are you bearing fruits of the Spirit? Have you found God's purpose for creating you, and are you living out that purpose? Well, this morning, if you need to let Jesus into your life, now is the best time to do it. Now is still available. Tomorrow may not be. Just say a prayer asking Him into your life. See an elder about being baptized, and let then let the Holy Spirit take control of your life. Be a Timothy for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he was willing to come, that you sent him to come and pay for our debt because of sin. And we look to him. We try to be like him, Father, as your Holy Spirit leads. Father, let us give up our lives as Jesus gave up his for us. Let us give up our lives for you. Let our lives bear fruit. Let us listen to what the Spirit says. And Father, help us, strengthen us. Give us that peace by trusting in you that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name.